You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 24th of August, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'll begin today like I did yesterday with a request for listeners to write in with some information that I am wanting to find out. I'm wanting to hear from Radio Albion listeners because an accusation has been made against me that what I say is likely to stir up hate. So I would like to hear from our listeners how Radio Albion makes them feel, why they listen, and especially if they've been inspired to take any action. Especially good is if you have been listening since the Radio Aryan days and can comment on any changes you have noticed over the years. And you can contact me in the chat room. You can send me an email to stormersubs@hushmail.com, or you can send me a message on Telegram, or send me a message on Gab, or if you have any other email addresses for me, then send me a message on that so that I can collect them all together, because I believe they will be useful to me. Well, today I want to get into that second news story that I talked about yesterday that comes from Wales. And this is a continuation of various British institutions investigating themselves to try and find things that they can criticise, basically on the basis of race. And most of the people that they've got involved in this have been left-wing activists. They've been people that are involved with Black Lives Matter. So they have a vested interest in trying to show that various institutions and various parts of history are racist or white supremacist. And this one concerns the Arts Council of Wales. A Black Lives Matter-inspired review from the Arts Council of Wales has found that the use of the Welsh language is linked to white supremacist ideology. How on earth can the use of the Welsh language be considered to be white supremacist? I mean, the Welsh language belongs to the Welsh people, and obviously if you don't know how to speak Welsh, you're not going to be able to understand the language. Is the use of Swahili linked to black supremacist ideology because white people that don't understand how to speak Swahili are excluded from understanding what is being said there? This is how ludicrous this is. The Welsh language is very important to the Welsh people because they were banned from speaking it for quite some years. They had their manuscripts and their documents and their histories were burned and destroyed. They had to hide them. There was extreme punishments for actually speaking in Welsh right up until last century. And there was a big movement to get Welsh taught in schools. I don't understand why in England we are not actually taught how to speak Welsh. If you live in Switzerland, where they have four different languages, I believe, that are spoken, German, Italian, French, and a Roma language, you actually learn all five of those languages, and English as well, when you are at school. And yet when we're at school in Britain, we have Wales and we have Scotland. Scotland has a different language as well. They have Gaelic, and yet we don't learn these languages at school. We just learn English, and then we possibly learn French or we learn German. And I think it would be really beneficial if people did learn how to speak Welsh in school so that they could learn about the Welsh history, because the Welsh history goes back before the Normans. It goes back before the Saxons, And to say that this is linked to white supremacist ideology, I mean, this basically shows that anything at all to do with white identity now is called white supremacist. Anything that actually belongs to white people that they created, and obviously we didn't have multicultural countries until about 70 years ago, so everything up until 70 years ago was built and created exclusively for the people that created it. And it's this that is now being identified as being white supremacist, when really it's just the people creating things for the people that are here. They're creating things for themselves rather than creating things for others. And it's this never gets turned around to look at other people in the way that I suggested there. It never gets turned around saying, well, is the use of Swahili black supremacist? Is the use of Chinese, excluding everybody that isn't Chinese? It is only ever directed at things to do with white people. A £51,000 taxpayer-funded review from the Arts Council of Wales and the National Museums Wales found that the use of the Welsh language by itself serves to exclude racial minorities. Well, it doesn't just exclude racial minorities, does it? It also excludes white people. It excludes everybody that isn't Welsh, that hasn't learned to speak Welsh. I'm English. I can't speak Welsh. It excludes me if something is just written in Welsh. But I don't feel excluded by that. I don't feel that I'm being discriminated against in any way, because all I would have to do is take a course in learning Welsh and work hard at it in order to be able to understand it. And they may say here, ah, yes, but when they talk in Welsh, they also have it translated into English there as well. Most of the signposts and most of the messaging is bilingual. Okay, it's bilingual. Well, that excludes the Germans, doesn't it? It excludes the French, it excludes the Italians, it excludes all the other European nations that don't know how to speak Welsh. So this is not deliberately discriminating against black people. This is just basically, we do have different nations, and different nations have different languages, and they're based on ethnicity. And this is what happens with all of this anti-racist stuff. It comes up against reality, such as there are differences, there are language differences, there are ethnic differences, and then because it's found that there is a difference there, it proclaims that it's racism. And it must be racism. It must be somehow down to white people just wishing to exclude minorities. And that is just not so. The council's anti-racist union said that the feeling of exclusion emanates from the concept of Welshness altogether, which often disregards black and non-black people of colour as the other. There is a notion that if you are not white, you cannot be Welsh, the Telegraph reported. Well, that's because Welsh is an ethnicity, isn't it? And an ethnicity is based on your heritage. It's based on your ancestral heritage. Whoever your ancestors were defines what your ethnicity is. And there weren't any black people in Wales up until 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So you aren't going to have any black Welsh. You can have black British citizens, but you can't even have black Welsh citizens, because the Welsh are a nation and they are part of the nations that make up Great Britain, and they don't have singular citizenship. We're all British citizens of the United Kingdom. Welsh itself, the word Welsh, is talking about a human being. It's talking about a man. It's talking about a type of man, a Welsh man. It's not talking about where somebody is born. It's talking about their heritage. So, of course, it excludes people that have a different heritage, and vice versa as well. If you have a black heritage, say your heritage comes from the Congo, then by having a Congolese heritage, you are excluding people of Welsh heritage. And that's just the way that it is. And once again, we have reality here, and we have anti-racism coming up against reality and proclaiming that reality doesn't exist, and that somehow two different things can actually be the same thing, which basically negates the Welsh people, doesn't it? It's trying to strip the Welsh people of an identity and say, well, you don't have a unique identity. Everybody else can just take your identity. It's effectively saying that somebody could just take your surname. Why is it that I can't use somebody else's surname? Well, because your surname is based on who your parents were and who your grandparents were. And it's similar to this, really. When you think about ethnicity, it's effectively just what your family surname is. And that's why it excludes others. It's like when you have sperm whales and humpback whales, they exclude beluga whales. They're all different types of whale. And you can't call one type of whale by the name of another type of whale. It's exactly the same thing here. The Arts Council of Wales report concluded that it was itself systemically racist through its use of the Welsh language, and that the very concept of Welsh meant white. So I mean, what they're saying there is that just white in itself is now white supremacist. Anything that implies that somebody is white, somebody is of European ethnic extraction, is racist, is systemically racist. And this flies in the face of the recent government report, which investigated Britain to find out if there was any institutional racism, systemic racism, and they found that there was no systemic racism or institutional racism in Britain. That's not to say that racism doesn't exist. Discrimination does exist. But there aren't any institutions that are deliberately discriminating against minorities. Far from it. A lot of institutions are actually discriminating against white people, and they do that through diversity quotas. And they say, well, white people don't need to apply for this job because we need to have more black and minority ethnics in these positions, which is effectively discriminating against whites. It's white people who are now discriminated against at an institutional level. We see exactly that going on here. We see that the Welsh people are being discriminated against. They're being called racist here. The Arts Council is being called racist, and to be called a racist is now worse than to be called a rapist. It's just about the worst insult that there is in the human language, and it is only ever directed against white people. They continue here. Welsh language policies in current applications can exclude black and non-black people of colour. This is actually in the review. They are saying this as if Welsh language policies don't exclude anybody else that doesn't speak the Welsh language. And can it really be that they haven't actually thought about that? That they are so centred on thinking about race that they haven't worked out that in actual fact it doesn't just mean that black and non-black people of colour can't take part in this, but actually everybody that isn't Welsh can't take part in this. The continual exclusion and disregard for black and non-black communities is not due to willful ignorance. It is due to a calculated and repetitive pattern, the report added. So what they're saying there is that the arts community is deliberately doing this. They are deliberately excluding black people, and they're disregarding them because they speak Welsh. And it's interesting here that they have changed from referring to ethnic minorities as black and minority ethnic to now calling them black and non-black communities. Non-black communities of colour, of course, because they've expanded on it there. They said black and non-black people of colour, and then they say black and non-black communities. And again, we know that as white people, we're not allowed to have a white community. If we try to set up community advocacy groups for white people, we get accused of white supremacism and racism because we're trying to speak up for white people. The double standards here are just incredible. Responding to the review, the chairman of the Arts Council of Wales, Phil George, and the president of the National Museums of Wales, Robert Lewis, said in a joint statement, "It is not acceptable that our access to publicly funded culture is so unequally distributed." Well, the publicly funded culture is to celebrate the culture of Wales, and part of the culture of Wales is speaking in Welsh. That those funds should be going exclusively to the Welsh. And obviously, the Welsh would like to share their culture. They would like people to learn about their culture. So I should imagine that when they set up the museum and they set up the explanation boards that are going to be talking about the things that are at the museum or in the art centre, they will probably translate it into the sort of languages of the people that are most likely to go into the centre, because that's how they're going to benefit from it, isn't it? And I doubt very much whether Swahili is spoken very much as a first language by people that go into the art centre, but you will be likely to get a lot of English people that go in there that speak English, so they have bilingual boards that explain what the exhibition is talking about, what the exhibit is. They will explain that in both English and Welsh, and they're just being sensible there. And it's unbelievable that this is the president of the president of the National Museum of Wales and the chairman of the Arts Council are backing this and saying that their own organisations are institutionally racist and are excluding black people and non-black people of colour simply by celebrating the Welsh language. And they say it is our responsibility to ensure everybody can experience culture in the way they choose, in person or digitally, in museums and other venues, or in their communities. So what are they saying here? Are they saying that the Welsh people have got to pay for translators into every other language in the world? I mean, normally, if you want to really learn something about a culture, then really you're going to try to learn the language, aren't you? You're going to learn a little bit about it. If you really want to understand Wales, I would suggest you need to understand the language. It's the people that are wanting to learn about this that are really going to have to make some of these changes. It shouldn't be the museum or the Arts Council's responsibility to do this. If people wish to move to Britain and they wish to live in Britain, then you would expect that they would learn the language, really. Either learn English or learn Welsh. I'm sure if English people move to other countries and they want to live there, you know, they're going to have to learn part of the language, because they're not going to find that there are bilingual signs everywhere. They're not going to find that everything has been translated for them. They're going to have to find this out for themselves. They continue, they say, at the same time, we had to face some difficult and important truths in response to the Black Lives Matter movement and to reflect on our role in tackling racism. Well, what does Black Lives Matter have to do with the National Museum of Wales and the Arts Council of Wales? Black Lives Matter is an organisation that was set up in America to highlight the fact that some black people had died at the hands of the police. And the claim is that more black people are being killed by the police than is their percentage of the population. But more black people are arrested by the police than their percentage of the population. More black people are in prison than the percentage of the population. And it's not because the police are racist. It's for the same reason as why there are more men in prison than there are women. It's a simple fact that men commit more crimes than women. And it's a fact that blacks are more likely to commit crime than whites. And there is a certain amount of leeway that you can give them for this, because they have, on average, they have a much lower IQ. And if you have a lower IQ, it is predicted that you're going to be more likely to be predisposed to crime. So you can have a certain amount of sympathy for black people for perhaps being more likely to commit crime. You can't look at them as white people and say, well, if white people are committing crimes, well, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. They should know better. But if you're looking at blacks, you can say, well, they actually commit crime at a much higher rate, and that coincides with this lower average IQ, so perhaps they shouldn't be held to be quite so responsible for their actions as you would hold white people responsible for their actions. Once you know that, you end up having more sympathy for them, to be honest. It doesn't make you feel angry against them or anything like that. You actually have more sympathy for them when you know these statistics. But what does that have to do with the Arts Council of Wales or the National Museums of Wales? And they say here they've been reflecting on their role in tackling racism. Well, racism didn't exist in Wales, did it? It couldn't have existed in Wales until Wales became multicultural and started inviting people from other races to come and live in Wales. It couldn't have existed in Wales. There's no way that anybody black could have been discriminated against in Wales if there weren't any black people living in Wales. So the history of the Arts Museum and the National Museum, why would it have even had a history of tackling anti-racism? It was completely irrelevant to them until the country became multicultural and the leaders of the country started inviting other peoples to come and live in Wales. Wales, one of the home nations of the United Kingdom, is officially a bilingual nation, using both English and the ancient Celtic language of Welsh as its two languages. And it's something that Wales is rightly proud of, that they have this language. And it's a very different language to the Germanic ones. If you haven't seen Welsh before, you'll be really quite surprised by it, because it's very different to the other European languages. And that's because it is such an old language. It really is old. And in Brittany, they speak a very similar language, and in Cornwall. If you're Welsh, you'll be able to understand what somebody is saying when they're speaking in Breton. And the same with Cornwall, because years ago, the Britons, who are now called the Welsh, they also used to live in Brittany. That was like a little Britain, as it were. So in actual fact, Welsh, rather than excluding everybody who is non-Welsh, it actually also includes the Cornish and the Bretons. The Welsh Language Measure 2011 states that all public bodies must treat both English and Welsh with equal prominence. So they're not trying to exclude people there. They're saying, well, we will translate whatever is being said also into English for two reasons. One, because the majority of the people in Britain speak English. And two, because English is the language of commerce, just the same as Latin was hundreds of years ago and Greek was before that. Nowadays, it is English. So the Welsh are translating things into English because that's what most people speak. And if people want to understand what's being said in the museum and by the Arts Council, then they've got a choice there, haven't they? They can either learn English or they can learn Welsh, and then they will be included. They have to take a step themselves to show that they want to be included by understanding these languages in the first place. I mean, what they're effectively saying here is if you're black and or non-white, then there's no reason why you should have to learn another language. Everybody else should translate their language into one that you understand. That's effectively what is being said here. The Arts Council of Wales employment policy states that the Welsh language skills of all staff are assessed annually through self-assessment. So they're saying everybody has to learn this, you know. They're not saying only the Welsh have to learn this. Everybody else has to learn this. If you're English and you want to work there, you have to learn Welsh. If you're French and you want to work there, you have to learn Welsh. And what this anti-racist organisation is saying, though, is if you're black or you're non-white, you shouldn't have to learn to be able to speak Welsh. The National Museums of Wales make the determination on an individual basis if Welsh language proficiency is deemed essential for a position. So there are positions there that people could apply for if they didn't actually speak Welsh. They might be able to if there was a position that it wasn't deemed to be essential. The Arts Council of Wales website even admits on its website, "We are a bilingual nation, legally, socially, culturally, and as individuals and communities. Nothing makes Wales more distinctive than the Welsh language." And of course, what they're saying is, well, it's not just distinctive, it's exclusive. It's excluding people that don't speak the language. And that's the same for every nation in the world, isn't it? Don't they all have their own language that they speak that is unique to themselves, something that they should be proud of? I doubt whether anybody looks at their language in the light of, well, this is great, this is, because it discriminates everybody else, discriminates against everyone else. People think, well, this is great, we all speak the same language, so we can understand one another. And if everybody spoke the same language, you wouldn't have the sense of togetherness that you do have within a nation. The nation is an extension of the family. You feel close to your family, you can relate to your family, and within the nation, with you all speaking the same language together, you can relate to the people in your nation. And this is why when you go on holiday and you see somebody else that speaks your language and looks like you, you very often go over and start speaking to them, because that's what you have in common with them. You know, they're part of your extended family, and they speak the same language as you. They're probably seeing things in the same light that you are. It means that we share something with these people. It's very important that we have our separate language. Otherwise, everything would be far too open. And you can just look in the Bible that God was not pleased with everybody speaking the same language. He was not pleased with a world empire being formed that mixed all the nations together. So he confounded the tongues and gave everybody different tongues so that they would separate out into their nations, the nations that he had created. The council added, "We are committed to developing and promoting the arts in and through the medium of Welsh." And that's how they should be. But of course, that is going to exclude others, isn't it? The Anti-Racist Union said that public bodies in Wales should ease the emphasis on having to speak Welsh and provide opportunities to learn on the job. So they're saying you should put people that don't speak Welsh into this position so that when somebody Welsh comes in that only speaks Welsh, they can't actually communicate with the person who's there, because otherwise it's racist. So who's going to lose out there? Well, obviously, elderly Welsh people that only know how to speak Welsh. It suggested that they could employ job sharing in roles that may require Welsh language proficiency, where a black or non-black person of colour who doesn't speak Welsh can work alongside a Welsh speaker. How many black people are there in Wales? I don't think there are really that many black and non-white people in Wales. The ones that are centred in the cities. They're not throughout the whole country. How many black people are there that actually go to the Welsh Arts Council? How many are there that actually go to the National Museum? I doubt whether there are very many, and yet all this money is being spent on this review, and it's calling for all these changes to be made. And really, it's just virtue signalling, isn't it? It's just the Welsh Arts Council trying to say, please don't smash our statues, please don't graffiti or set fire to our museum, thinking we are racist. The Black Lives Matter movement has seen numerous institutions, including historical bodies and universities, launch similar assaults on Britain's heritage across the home nations over the past year. And we've documented a lot of them here at Radio Albion, including the English Heritage, National Trust. I mean, the National Trust have been trying to say that a lot of their stately homes were owned by slave owners, and churches were built by slave owners. And of course, they forget that slavery was just the system of employment that they had at that time. There were white slaves as well as there were black slaves. And it actually cost more to keep a slave than it did to pay the wages. It's just a way to smear our ancestors and make our ancestors out to be bad people. And they were not bad people. It's as if we are disrespecting our parents here by insulting our heritage in such a way. We've seen countless statues that have been pulled down. We've seen street names that have been changed. Statues of people that have been put up because they were really good people, philanthropists that donated 90% of their money to helping their people and building institutions for the British people so that they could learn, or the poor, people that were so good that the people in their local area wanted to honour them with a statue. And instead of remembering them as now being good people, they've got they've either had their statue pulled down, or there is a plaque there telling everybody that looks at the statue what a horrible, wicked, evil person they were. Just because they had something to do with it, with the institution of slavery, which went on all around the world, and Africa is the one country that could have put a stop to it. That was the source of slavery, was Africans selling other Africans. It wasn't white people going over there and hunting them. It was white people that went over there and colonized the country and built road networks and transport networks and educated the people that were there and taught them how to make other products that they could sell, with a view to helping them to put a stop to slavery. And once white people had put a stop to slavery, it took another 100 years before the Africans would actually stop doing it. It was only finally made illegal in Mauritius, and I think in Mauritania, sorry, in I think 2001 or 2005. White people have always tried to do what is best for everyone, not just for themselves. And we are now forgetting that and teaching our children that their grandparents and their great-grandparents were horrible people. How is that going to end up? It's not going to end up in a good place, is it? In February of this year, for example, Scotland's oldest museum announced that it would be creating the position of curator of discomfort to confront the supposed white supremacy inherent within itself and the rest of Scotland. I mean, if it isn't clear to people by now, I don't know how to make it any clearer, but just associating with your ethnic identity now, if you are white, means white supremacist. Anything that talks about white people, which is obviously going to be most of history, because most of history has been written by white people. They were the ones that decided to record it, and the word itself is his story. All of that can be looked at as well. It doesn't have diversity in it, does it? It doesn't have black people in it, therefore it must be racist. If it doesn't have black people, therefore it's white supremacist, therefore we should get rid of it. And that's the logic that we're seeing here. We're destroying our culture, we're destroying our history, and we're denigrating our ancestors. And it's about time we woke up from it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.